If you have got a Bible, though, please do turn to it, 1 Timothy 6, because this is the final version of our final one in the series from 1 Timothy. As I say, this is the last week of the 1 Timothy series, and I've called it Guarding Your Responsibilities, or also you could call it Upgrading Your Life. Upgrading Your Life. Now, when did you last upgrade something? I came across this cartoon. The computer says I need to upgrade my brain to be compatible with its new software. Computers are, there are often things that have to be upgraded, and normally unsuccessfully in my experience. So this cartoon, which is the next slide, please, Peter, he's saying, want some free software. What's it do? All it does is begs you for upgrades, and if you upgrade, then it begs you to upgrade again, and so on. And it makes all of your other software run slow. And it's free? I fell for this one. I did a free upgrade to my Mac, and it nearly killed the machine. I came across this. A grandfather was with his... Not yet. Back one. Thank you, Peter. A grandfather was with his grandchild, who had their laptop out, and... was saying, Granddad, what upgrades did you have when you were at school? To which his grandfather replied, well, we moved to coloured chalk. Now, the whole thing of slowing my computer down led to quite a bit of frustration, and this was something I discovered on the internet as well. Now, this is the next slide, Peter. Before you marry a person, you should first make them use a computer with slow internet to see who they truly are. Yeah, Sue got to see. Feels appropriate now to mention that 23 years ago today, Sue and I got married. Hey! Oh, she loves living with an extrovert. Why am I talking about upgrades and all this sort of stuff? Well, I don't know if anybody you saw at 9 o'clock last night who wasn't watching the football, this series that's just started, The Men Who Make Us Spend, or Made Us Spend, it's a three-part series. And we were talking about consumerism a couple of weeks ago. Heather was talking about it last week. And I don't want to be banging a drum, but it feels to me like God is trying to get our attention about this subject. Because this three-week series on BBC Two, last night they were looking at the whole thing of product lifespan and upgrades and how we consume because products have been made to break, quite deliberately. They've been made so that they don't last, so that we have to buy new products. We also consume because we have these upgrades that we're told, well, if you don't get the latest upgrade, actually your life's not going to be worth living. You've got to upgrade to the next thing. And we fall for it. The next two episodes are, the next one is on why fear drives consumer spending. And the final one is on why selling to children makes childlike consumers of us all. And so I'd encourage you to have a think about that and look at that. And I just want to continue from what Heather was saying as we look at this final bit of 1 Timothy. Why are we going on about consumerism and money? Well, one of the verses that Heather was looking at last week, the Bible says money is the root of all evil, doesn't it? That's what we're told. Hands up if you believe the Bible says money is the root of all evil. Hands up if you don't think it says that. Yeah, it was a trick question. Sorry, that was a trick. Hands up if you never put your hands up in church when someone asks you to put your hands up. Hey, I've got two of you for the first time. There you go. It says money, if we could have the next slide, please, Peter. And it doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says, next please, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's not money in and of itself, but it's the love of it. And I want to look at briefly at how we guard our responsibilities towards money, towards to how we face a consumer society. And I want to look at three things. How do we promote a gospel-shaped attitude towards money? How do we protect our present riches? And how do we pursue our promised future? And I think in 18 months at Cox, that's the first time I'm doing a 3-point sermon, definitely one beginning with P. Some of you have been waiting. Here it is. Now, this isn't the talk where I ask you to give all your money to the church. That comes in a few months' time. Relax. This is about our attitude to money. See, money is a trap. The earlier part of the passage Heather looked at last week talks about money being a trap. It says in verse 9, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. The root of money